Hey, hey, everybody, Friday is finally here, and that means it's one less day until Sunday. I'm going to be breaking down what's going to happen this weekend in the NFL, tell you who's going to win and who's going to lose and why, so stick around. It's the NFL Preview Show on the Half Hour of Power with Beast Child. Woo! Okay, people, now before I can start going deep for six and making some picks, I gotta give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Send your emails to beastchallenge09@gmail.com. Add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/V_half_hour_of_power. Or if you have Skype, add me, Beastchild, on Skype, it's beastchallenge09. Or of course, visit the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. There you can see everyone's predictions, how everyone's doing on the leaderboard, and of course, me dominating the competition, if you know what I mean. Let's get right into the NFL Preview Show. Yee yee! But it's good time, and it's gonna get better with you. Say it's been my money on women and wine, but I couldn't tell you where I've been last. Hey, hey, everybody, welcome back to THOP, the Half Hour of Power. I am Beast Child, your host, and today is October 5th, Friday, and today we are talking about football, which would make it Football Friday, and I'm going to be breaking down the Week 5 games, giving you my picks in Season 1, Episode 55, as well as, at the end of the show, you gotta wait for it, Codemaster Jones's crazy prediction of the week, so get ready for that, because it's going to be sick, I tell you this. Codemaster Jones, he knows nothing about football, but he's making a crazy prediction this week in the NFL. I'll tell you all about that at the end of my picks. Well, this week I'm picking four road teams, yes, only four, and I will tell you who those are as we get to those games, but let's start off in Houston. Yes, the 2-2 Houston Texans are hosting the 0-4 Miami Dolphins, so the Vegas betting line on this game is Houston by 6 at home. Over-under is 43.5. So, 6 points for Houston. Each home team gets 3 points on a consensus. So, in reality, they're favored by 3 points. But, Houston Texans. Let's start off with a giant list of injuries that they have. Andre Johnson, wide receiver, is out with a knee injury. Jerome Mathis, their star kick returner, took that opener back against Indianapolis. Yeah, he's out as well. Jacoby Jones, doubtful with a shoulder injury. He is the other receiver. And their running back, Amon Green, is questionable with a knee. He's going to be a game-time decision, limited in practice, but we'll follow that as the time gets closer. But basically in this game, you're going to want to look for Matt Schwab to find Andre Davis. He found him a lot last week. And the Houston Texans coming off 2 losses, 34-24 and 26-16. One at home against the Texans and one on the road against Atlanta. So they are looking to kind of turn around that losing 2 streak. And the Miami Dolphins have lost 4 straight. Obviously, they are 0-4. Last week against Oakland, they allowed 5 touchdowns to their former quarterback, Dante Culpepper. But what's going to happen in this game? Well, Texans have won only the 2 meetings between these 2 teams. So I see them rolling against the Miami Dolphins, their home. Andre Davis is going to find openings in the defense. Matt Schwab's going to hit him. And this Houston Texans defense, with Mario Williams, who blocked a 2-point conversion last time they played, is going to be a big factor. Look out for Jason Taylor on the end, playing against Eric Winston. So, and that's going to be what you're going to want to watch. Another interesting little nugget here for you. Ronnie Brown may become the second running back in NFL history, to total 200-plus yards from scrimmage in 3 straight games. Walter Payton the only other one doing that. So, I pick Houston in this game, and I am a beast. So, listen to what I say. Let's move on to the next game. The Kansas City Chiefs. and the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2-2 Chiefs against the 2-1 Jaguars. The Jaguars coming off a bye. Obviously, they've had one less game. Well, last week, Larry Johnson finally got on the board with 130 yards plus from scrimmage. That is something that the Chiefs are going to want to start doing regularly. But the big surprise last week was Dwayne Bowe. He has 300 yards on the season, 16.6 per catch, and 3 touchdowns. He is going up, and he is looking like the offensive rookie of the year. I mean, you can't really say that in week, 5? But he is looking very good, the best rookie out of this draft class for sure, offensively. On the other side, the 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguars coming off a bye. Still have some injuries they're looking at, especially their kicker Josh Scobie, but John Carney has been hitting everything, so that's good. Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew. MJD only has 100 yards on the season. That's what you would want from him, you know, in a couple games. But Fred Taylor, 156 on the year. He is the starter on that team. No rushing touchdowns for either of those two guys. So that's something you really have to worry about. But Kansas City Chiefs haven't allowed any second half points this year. And Damon Heward is undefeated at home as a Chief. He is undefeated, 7-0 at home. So with that, I have to take the Kansas City Chiefs because, you know, I mean, they are coming off, the Jacksonville is coming off a bye. They are favored by 2, Jacksonville is, but I have to take Kansas City in this game. So, let's move on to Cleveland at New England. I'm not going to talk about this game too much because New England is favored by 17, and they're at home. So, it's not going to be too pretty if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. I feel like this game might stay closer. I don't know that it'll even stay close early. I think the Browns are going to be able to put up some points in the middle of the game, you know, when the Patriots are kind of off. But Patriots, obviously, you can't pick against the Patriots at home when they're playing the 2-2 Browns, Patriots 4-0, playing flawless football. I'm taking the Patriots. They're favored by 17. You can go ahead and take the over on that one. But if Cleveland can hold them I'm going to say 4-10 or less, a victory by 10 or less, Browns are really making a statement. Obviously, I assume they're going to lose, but it's going to depend on how they play. New Orleans Saints host the Carolina Panthers. 0-3. Saints still looking for their first win, coming off a bye against a division rival, 2-2, Carolina Panthers. In the overall meetings of these two teams, the Panthers have won 13 of 11, and they have a two-game series advantage. So, what is at stake here? Well, New Orleans Saints, this season is basically over if they go 0-4. They're at the bottom of the division right now, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3-1. They're at the top of the division. Panthers win this game, they tie for first. New Orleans down at 0-4, you know, they're just basically seeing if they can get a high draft pick for the 08 draft. What are they going to be looking here? Well, their cornerback Jason David is out with a forearm injury, so Steve Smith is going to have a field day. That's why I'm taking the Carolina Panthers as one of my 4 road teams. And in fact, the New Orleans Saints are favored by 3.5, oddly enough. But they're coming off a bye, and basically Vegas is saying, this is a desperation game, and if they don't win, they're done. So, I mean, I guess I can understand people taking New Orleans this week, because if you take them this week, then you just say, okay, if they go down, then they're down, they're done for the season, I don't have to pick them again. If you pick against them, they win, then it's like, okay, well, I guess they needed that much. So, that's the deal there. I'm taking Carolina as one of my 4 road teams. Oh, by the way, sorry, the Patriots-Browns game, Patriots is my money in the bank pick of the week. They are going to take that one to the house, and the Chiefs are my underdog pick of the week. Basically, for the underdog pick, unless I see one just pop out at me, I basically just go to the Vegas lines and take the biggest underdog in the game, the one with the biggest point differential against them. So, once again, the Patriots, money in the bank, and the Chiefs is my underdog pick. Now we move to the Jets at the Giants. The Jets will have to travel all the way to their home stadium, but technically the Giants are home. Both teams playing at Giants Stadium, the Meadowlands, if I may. 2-2 New York Giants and the 1-3 New York Jets, the G-Men and the Planes. What's going on here? Well, so far in this series, the Giants have won the past 3 meetings. This is going to be an interesting game because Giants coming off that huge victory Sunday night where they got 12 sacks, they won 16-3. And the Jets coming off a terrible loss. I'm going to say terrible because I picked them to win. But it was a 14-7 loss against Buffalo against the rookie Trent Edwards, a quarterback. But this game's gonna be important to watch. Chad Pennington, he's questionable with an ankle injury. We could see Kellen Clemens. That could be good news for the Jets, I have to say. Thomas Jones kind of kick-started last week, but it wasn't enough to take them to a victory. Derek Ward, last week, didn't see too much of him. 353 on the ground on the season, 4.8 per carry. He's looking like a poor man's Tiki Barber, if I can abuse that statement any more than I already have. Eli Manning, 890 through the air this season, 7 touchdowns. He's looking pretty good, especially because Plaxico Burress has 6 touchdowns on the season, 15.1 per catch. But I've seen arguments going both ways. I have to take the Giants in this game because of their defensive line play. It's savage. If the Jets do end up going with Chad Pennington, you know, he's kind of coming off an injury, he's going to get smacked around a bit, and that could be an ugly situation. If they do throw in Kellen Clemens, I think they have a bigger chance to win, but Plaxico Burress is looking very good. They get Derek Ward back. That's going to be huge. Aussie Omenyora, is questionable this week with a knee injury, but that might have been just because he was running so many laps around the left tackle, Winston Justice, of the Eagles. So, once again, I'm taking the Giants. They are technically the home team, but I'm taking them to win the game, and the Vegas line on that game is Giants by 4, so I'm not going against the pros at Bodog. Okay, let's go to the Seattle Seahawks at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rematch of Super Bowl 40 happened in Detroit a couple years ago, and this is the game to watch. Game of the week right here. The Steelers are home, and they are favored by 6.5. Over-under on this game is 39.5. By the way, all these lines are from Thursday night. So, you know, I mean, if you're really looking to put some money on it, you better check the lines before you go out and do that. But Pittsburgh Steelers 3-1 coming off a bit of a horrid loss against the Arizona Cardinals. Nobody really picked the Cardinals. They lost by a touchdown, 21-14. In reality, they only lost by a Brenton Johnson touchdown punt return. So, I mean, I guess you didn't say it, but Willie Parker was held to 39 yards on the ground. Not too good a day for him. On the other side, Seattle Seahawks coming off a San Francisco shellacking, 23-3. They absolutely demolished them by 20 points on the road. That was sick. Both these teams coming off road games, and both teams 3-1. Both teams at the top of the division. And looking to, you know, just retain that lead, and this is going to be a huge game. Both sides have a lot to play for. Seahawks have won 4 of the last 5 regular season contests. However, we know what happened in the Super Bowl. The Steelers took it to the house, and some people may say the officiating was bad, but let's talk about Week 5. Roethlisberger playing pretty well. 8 touchdowns on the season, 3 of them went to Santonio Holmes, who has 20 yards per catch, 285 on the year. On the other side, Deion Branch looking very good as well, 1 touchdown only, but he has 16 per catch with 329 through the air. Bobby Engram seems to be getting better as he ages, 250 on the year and 2 touchdowns, 14 per catch. No serious injuries here. Polamalu and Hampton were the big guys that they've been missing. They're both questionable, but who's the new coach there? Mike Tomlin, yes, he expects them to play, and so we should see both of those guys, the big one and the hairy one. With that, let's move over to Missouri, where the St. Louis Rams host the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, Ken Whisenhunt and his quarterback by committee, with Matt Leinart and Kurt Warner, come face the injured, the battered and beaten 0-4 St. Louis Rams. Mark Bulger, not going to be playing this game, with rib injuries. He's been playing with 2 broken ribs, which explains a lot, if I may, fantasy-wise, and just straight-up playing the position of quarterback. But he has 765 yards this season, only 2 touchdowns for the guy that signed a new contract in the offseason. Steven Jackson, 233 on the ground this year. Not very good either. That's what you expect out of a guy like this. So you expect in 2 games. No touchdowns on the year, that's a big key. Brian Leonard will be playing in place of him. He only has 79 yards. And, what can I say? He's a rookie coming in. You can't expect too much coming straight into the NFL. But he is playing against, let's say, a decent Arizona Cardinals team. Definitely not as good as Dallas that they played last week. Only put up 7 points on a Dante Hall punt return. He could be a factor as well, Dante Hall, because we remember Arizona playing against Chicago. They are who we thought they were. That was on the Devin Hester return of the punt. Look out for Dante Hall in this game. I have to take the Cardinals as my second of my four road teams this week. This is the Napster game of the week, and for good reason. I mean, you got an 0-4 team, 2-2, and this team isn't looking too good. Edgerrin James, I like the guy, but, you know, how can you not? The guy's a beast. And so, yeah, that's that. So, streaks. Cardinals have won 2 of the last 3 meetings, and, so, something to keep in mind. I am taking the Arizona Cardinals on the road. The second of my 4 road teams. Now we travel to Washington, D.C., where the 2-1 Redskins, coming off a bye, are playing the 3-1 Detroit Lions. Yes, they are the Lions, because they're here to play, and they're scary. Okay, so, Lions, a career total of 0 wins against in Washington. The Lions have never won in Washington, D.C., and so that is something, you know, pretty interesting. 0-12 would be the exact statistic that one might look for in this, but that's something to keep in mind, that they have never won. But John Kitna, 10 wins? I don't know. It's looking pretty good if they win here. Right now, they're 3-1. They are coming off a victory, 37-27, but they did lose 56-21. I'm going to bring that up every week. Last time the Redskins were on the field, they lost 24-17 to the New York Giants on the goal line stand, where they kept Clayton Portis on the sideline. But Clayton Portis is probable with an ESL little interview with him on NFL.com. He says that, you know, he was running some sprints, he was feeling pretty good. But the big thing you're going to want to look for is Santana Moss, who's doubtful with a groin injury. So, fantasy players, Santana Moss on the bench. He went out to practice, ran a couple sprints. He ran maybe one or two reps as a play. Then he ran a couple sprints and had to immediately go back to the locker room to ice down his injured groin. So, that's something to keep in mind. The Detroit Lions, on the other hand, looking very good. John Kitna, already over the 1,000-yard mark, 1,200 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns. 3 of those went to Roy Williams. 3 of those went to Sean McDonald, the fourth receiver. He is definitely making his mark as a fourth wide receiver in the league. Maybe the best fourth receiver in the league, I have to say. I mean, there aren't too many fourth-string receivers that can compete with a fourth-string receiver of Sean McDonald's caliber, but that's just a little thing. So, let us move on to the next game. Once again, I am taking the Redskins. Yes, I'm taking the Redskins at home because they're coming off a bye. The defense looking pretty good, and Jason Campbell is going to go to work against this weak Detroit defense. Now we go to Tennessee. Oh, by the way, that is the shootout of the week. It's going to be interesting to watch both those teams go at it. But in the end, Redskins defense, it's going to be sick. So, look out, because it's going to be beastly. Now, Tennessee Titans, VY10, and his team, and Lindell White, and Chris Brown, all those guys, face the Atlanta Falcons and Joey Harrington. Yes, 2-1 Titans, 1-3 Falcons. The Titans at second place in the division, tied with Jacksonville, looking to kind of catch up to Indianapolis, and hoping that they'll lose to the Buccaneers this week, but we'll get to that game next. Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. The line on this game is Tennessee by 8.5. That's very interesting. Vince Young getting the biggest spread that he's ever gotten in the NFL. Very nice of Las Vegas to do that for him. And he's going to be handing the ball off to Chris Brown, who has 247 on the year, and Lindell White, who has 180 on the year. White with the 2 touchdowns on the ground. He has thrown to Brandon Jones with a touchdown, and Roydell Williams with a touchdown. Over on the other side, Joey Harrington looking good in the past 2 weeks. They won last week against Houston 26-16. Some injuries. D'Angelo Hall is questionable with a knee for the Falcons. He should play. He played last week. And Rod Coleman, the defensive tackle, is questionable with a knee injury. He should also go as well. Game time decision on both of those guys. I'd be leaning on the upside. Both of these teams, you know, kind of turning it on. But the Titans have had it on the past, 4 weeks. And coming off a bye, it's going to be very fun to watch. Titans are going to roll on this one. I am taking the Tennessee Titans to win this game. And that takes us to Indianapolis, where the Colts host the Buccaneers. So, Colts, Tony Dungy, facing his old team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he invented the Tampa 2 defense. What does that mean? Well, Tony Dungy has Peyton Manning, the best quarterback in the league. He's going to say, Peyton, here's how the defense works. Peyton's going to be like, sick. And then he's going to study about 24/7 for this whole week and just straight up go out there and dominate the Buccaneers. As much as I'd love to take the Buccaneers if they were home, if Marvin Harrison wasn't playing and Joe Spadai isn't playing and if a lot of other things happened, I would love to take the Buccaneers, but I have to take the Colts. After all, they are favored by 10 points and the over-under on this game is 45.5, so pretty good. And it's gonna be sick because the Colts are going up against their former team. I expect Tony Dungy to be able to tear this game up, but the Buccaneers have such a good defense. They've won the past three games. They lost the opening weekend, but then they beat the Saints 31-14. They beat the Rams 24-3. Okay, I know both these teams are winless, but that's partially their fault. And the Carolina Panthers 20-7 last week. And so, what's up? Joey Galloway, Jeff Garcia. Cadillac Williams is out for the season, so we're going to see Ernest Graham and Michael Pittman. But Ike Hilliard also, you know, kind of showing up to the games. Nice of him to do that. Over on the other side, Marvin Harrison should go. He injured last week, but he says he could have gone back into the game. He should go. Joe Svidai will be out, so Kent Keith, who had 80 yards last week, very good backup. We saw him week one as well. Joe Svidai had that scare on the first play, but we should see Kent Keith, and he should do pretty well. Don't expect too much, because this Buccaneers defense is looking good. However, I have to take the 4-0 Colts to win this game, and therefore take big-sized lead in their division. But now we go to the Denver Broncos and the San Diego Superchargers. Broncos 2-2, Chargers 1-3. Desperation time, it's crunch time for the Chargers. If they lose this game, it's going to be huge, because they are in last place in the division. The Raiders, Chiefs, and Broncos all at 2-2. Speaking of the Broncos, they are in first place in this division, with leading rusher Travis Henry will not be playing. Selvin Young, who averages 9.2 per carry, may I add, is going to be taking his place. The one-touchdown running back tested positive for marijuana, and he will probably not play. However, he's looking for a second opinion in order to testify that whole ordeal. Brandon Marshall, 290 through the air on the season, 2 touchdowns. He has the most receiving touchdowns on the team. 230 for Javon Walker, the veteran. Jay Cutler throwing them the ball, 4 touchdowns on the air. Jay is a winner, but he hasn't done it the past 2 weeks against Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Pretty good opponents. He did beat Oakland 23-20 in week 2. So let's talk about the Chargers. Mr. Tomlinson had 130 on the ground last week, but only 6 second half carries. Is he going to get the ball in the second half this game? Is he going to get the ball in the first half? Is he going to get the ball? Is the big question that everyone has to ask. I believe Norv Turner has heard people say that about infinity times. So, I expect LT to get the ball a lot. And he's going to go to work. He's going to do what he can against this Broncos defense. And if they do play Marty ball, if I may, I know this is Norv, and it makes me nervous. Oh, that was terrible. But if LT can go to work against these guys, he's going to get the job done single-handedly. This Broncos D has barely slipped by their opponents. Oakland, they barely beat. And week one, I believe it was the Bills. Yes, of course, the Bills with that last-second field goal. But that was something interesting. So I am taking the Broncos to roll because I don't think LT is going to get the job done if he does get the ball. Phillip Rivers going back and forth with him is not looking good. So let's quickly go to Baltimore and San Francisco. Baltimore, my team, is 2-2, tied with the Niners. Not looking good. They're coming off a loss to Cleveland. Niners coming off a shellacking to Seattle. So both these teams playing each other. Fun to watch. Both of them tied for second place in the division, trying to catch the two first place teams that are playing each other. Oddly enough, the Steelers and the Seahawks playing each other. The Niners and the Ravens playing each other. So, what's going to happen? Well, the Ravens are going to win. And it's pretty simple. Trent Dilfer starting in place of Alex Smith. This Ravens defense knows how Trent Dilfer plays. Badly. Okay, I'm sorry. But I know how he plays because he won the Super Bowl with them. So I'm taking the Ravens to go to 3-2, and hopefully, or actually I'm not going to say hopefully because I picked the Steelers to win as well, so they'll just take second place in division, stay there, and that is that. Sunday Night Football in Lambeau Field, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears. It's crunch time for the Bears. They're 1-3, last place in division, and oh, by the way, the Packers 4-0 on the other side. They have the leading passer in the NFL, Brett Favre. He has 1,200 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns, 2 of those to Donald Driver, 1 of them to rookie James Jones. Brandon Jackson, Deshaun Wynn, Vernon Morency, injured. So, not really anything of a rushing game, but they have a quarterback, they have wide receivers, and they have a defense. This Bears, what do they have? They are who we thought they were. No quarterback, no running game. Wide receivers that can't catch balls. Defense, all banged up, no help on the defensive side of the ball. That's what they rely on. So I'm taking the Packers to roll in this game. They are going to dominate because they're favored by 3.5, and the over-under is 41. Look for Brett Favre to have a field day. Let's go to Buffalo, New York, where the Bills host the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Yeah, baby, 4-0 Cowboys, coming off a 35-7 whipping against the Bills, who have won the game themselves. Their first game of the season last week, 17-14 at home. Bills haven't played on Monday Night Football in like something like 20 years, I believe it was, at home. The Bills have not played at home Monday night, something like 20 or more years, something ridiculous like that. I don't have the exact stat, but I heard it somewhere on the radio. But it's going to be fun to watch because the Bills are hosting the Cowboys. Cowboys are just dominant. I mean, Tony Romo is a beast, and he just, like, he loves to play, and, you know, he's Superman. And the Bills, they, right now, I mean, they're on the uprise. Trent Green, the rookie quarterback, they're 1-3, but they're second place in the division behind the Patriots. Look out for this team. I'm taking the Cowboys to cover the 11-point spread, regardless of this. You know, Marion Barber looking very good on the ground. T.O., of course. So, that's that. Now, let's get to Codemaster Jones's crazy prediction of the week. Okay, here we go. Late in the game, on a punt, the winning team will receive the punt, and the returner will field the ball. He will be hit and instantly fumble. The losing team, who punted, will then recover the ball and take it to the house for the game-winning touchdown. Now, just a little background on Codemaster Jones. He knows nothing about football. He could not name the Cowboys starting cornerback Tony Romo. And he did not even know who the Houston Texans were. That straight up tells you that if this comes true, if the losing team punts, recovers the punt, and takes it to the house for a game-winning touchdown in any of these games, he is a straight-up genius, a prodigy, and a psychic, and we shall all bow down to Codemaster Jones. Now, if this does not come true, well, then he's just a straight-up retard. But, regardless of that, we are talking about Mr. CMJ. This is going to become a regular segment of the show. Really quick, the TWHOP Pick'em Pool Leaderboard. I am in first place, 36-26. Tied with me is Max and Ice Campbell. Behind us, by one game, Lappy Time and Ricky C. Then, with 32 wins and 30 losses, the coin flip, just above 500. And Hobbs struggling down in the South, 46.8%. So with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP. The Half Hour of Power is featured on great networks such as AM 930, The Cockroach, Roach Radio. Visit myspace.com/Roach Radio. So, that's that. Oh, but before we can get out of here, I have to tell you how to find the molar mass of a carbon nitrate atom. Just kidding! But let's kill the next 30 seconds with reviewing my picks. I'm taking the Patriots over the Browns, the Steelers over the Seahawks, the Panthers over the Saints, Redskins over the Lions, Giants over the Jets, Texans over the Dolphins, Titans over the Falcons, Chiefs over the Jaguars, Cardinals over the Rams, Colts over the Buccaneers, Broncos over the Chargers, Ravens over the Niners, Packers over the Bears, and Cowboys over the Bills. I've been Beast Child. Thank you for listening to TWHOP. Holler back to the South Side. Peace! Yeah, that was it. It's over. I'm sorry, but I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP, the Half Hour of Power with Beast Child. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. If you want to get in contact with the show, send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com or visit the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So with that, I gotta get out of here, but just remember, it's what may be fantasy football, but TWHOP keeping it real. Peace out! thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com.